Well, hello, everyone. I'm Dr. James Dobson, and I have some good news to share. One of Family Talk's most loyal friends is aware that this ministry has struggled financially this year, and this generous donor has made a $200,000 matching grant to help carry us into the summer. This means that any gift, and I do mean a gift of any size, that we receive between now and May 31st up to the grant amount of $200,000 will be doubled. If you're able to make a contribution of any amount toward this matching grant, it will help keep us on target to continue the development of the James Dobson Family Institute. You know, I've been fighting for the family for more than 40 years now, and I'm not about to stop. You can make your donation securely online at drjamesdobson.org, or if you prefer, you can pledge your support by calling us at 877-732-6825. That number again is 877-732-6825. Thank you for your prayers and support of this ministry, and God's blessings to you all.
Today on Family Talk.
Well, hello, everyone. I'm Roger Marsh, and welcome to Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. And Dr. Dobson, I know you have personally selected this recorded message for a program today, and you've done so for a very good reason.
Yes, Roger, there is a reason I have chosen this recording, because I was there on the evening that it was spoken by Mr. Bob Benson. The date was October 6, 1977, and I was also one of the speakers earlier in that day. Bob spoke that night on the theme, God Chose You, and it was deeply moving for all of us who were there. He was a gifted speaker who spoke with a kind of a southern accent that captivated audiences. He also pastored churches in Florida, Missouri, and Tennessee, but he was also a publisher of books and a producer of what used to be called musical records. He did that for singers and artists. No one under 30 even knows what a record is today. Bob also spoke publicly often, and his audience could feel the passion and his love for the Lord.
Now, Bob was approaching the end of his life at the time of this recording that we're going to hear. Isn't that correct?
That's right, Roger. In fact, he was ill at the time this speech was given. And as I remember, he only had 9 years to live from that evening. He died in 1986 after a long illness.
Why were you there, Dr. Dobson, and what was the occasion?
Well, it was an event in Cincinnati, Ohio, called a Praise Gathering. I think that was an annual event, and it was sponsored by Southern Gospel singer Bill Gaither and his wife Gloria. And the date again was October 6, 1977. And it turned out to be very significant for me. I had spoken off and on for 2 days, so I was pretty worn out by the end of the second night. And I boarded a late flight for Los Angeles with a 2-day stopover in Kansas City to see my parents. My dad was in the hospital having suffered a heart attack, and I left the next morning. So that Saturday turned out to be the last time I saw my dad alive. He died of another heart attack shortly thereafter. So believe me, I will never forget that weekend. Well, with that, let's hear Bob Benson's message, which is in two parts, and he called them God Chose You.
Let me tell you a couple of things, and just to stay in the realm of being called a preacher, I want to read a text. And then in Colossians, the 3rd chapter, and the 16th verse. Sing thankfully in your hearts to God with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Whatever you are doing, whether you speak or act, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. In my collection of very personal and private papers at home, on a piece of notebook paper, there is a scribbled letter from my daughter, Lee. She wrote it to me when she was 14. It was a letter that she was writing at the beauty shop when she was getting her long hair cut. Lee and I didn't want her hair cut. Her mother did. So it would be easier to get ready to go to school quicker. And she's gotten it down to an hour and a half now. It was, she seemed to feel it was somehow symbolic because she wanted to write me one more time before her hair was cut. She wrote a little bit and then kind of lost her train of thought. And over in the margin, over on the other side of the red line, you know, over where the three holes are, you know, she just did a little thing down the border and it said, "Things I think of when I think of Daddy." And then she drew little pictures. She drew a tennis racket. I like to play, but I'm not very good. And then she drew a picture of Peggy and said, "Mom." Fortunately, she said, "Things I think of when I think of Dad, not necessarily in this order." There were several things. She mentioned one of the things was the Refero Hotel. Now, I don't know where you're staying, but it's better than the Refero. On one of our vacations with my fine planning and all, we arrived in a town and in a driving rainstorm, and they all went shopping, and I was left to find a place to stay. And the older boy said, "Find us a real groovy place, far out." And I did. We stayed on the third floor, and it was a walk-up hotel, and there was just one bathroom for the whole floor, and just little things my family wasn't into really good. She drew some other things. She drew the tractor, because I've always had trouble with machinery. I don't think there'll be any tractors in heaven. Things I think of when I think of Dad. Can you see my tractor? Is it yellow? Or is it blue? Is it a Ford or is it a Cub Lowboy? Can you see the Refero Hotel? Is it a frame building? Or is it a brick building? Doesn't mean anything to you, does it? But those little sketches down the side of that page brought back a flood of memories to me, because Lee and I had lived out those things together. I can see the Refero. I can see the looks on their faces when they saw. I can see my tractor. Incidentally, it's yellow and it's a Cub Lowboy. The jumper cables are red. But you see, it is in the processes of life that these particular things have meaning to Lee and I. I think maybe that was part of what Paul was saying when he was saying, "Whatever you are doing, in everything." If he won't mind me translating a little different this morning, I would like to say, "Whatever you are doing, in everything, get to know Jesus." I was down in Florida last fall, and I was preaching just forcefully like I am now. The crowd was absolutely spellbound, as you are. And I was talking about these things and what the Lord had meant to me and how I'd been a Christian for 30 years and what it was meaning to me these days and how great it was from this great background of experience. After the service, I was standing down at the front and I was just mobbed, you know. Must have been at least five people came down there. And while I was talking to them, this lovely, elegant, distinguished lady came and stood over here. And when I'd finished talking to these people, she came across and said, "I want to meet you. My name is Olive." And I took her by the hand and I said, "Olive, it's really nice to meet you. In the first place, I know where you sit. You sit right over there, and you were such a fine listener. You just nodded when I was doing good. You cried a bit and laughed and said amen. It was just nice. No telling what I could do if I could speak to a whole crowd of people like you." She said, "But I want to tell you something." I said, "All right." She said, "I am 74 years old. And when I was 12, I gave my heart to Jesus Christ. And I want to tell you something, boy." You don't know nothing yet. I tell you, I looked around for somebody who was 92. Isn't it wonderful to know that all the things we feel today, because of all the experiences and the places that we've come from, the meaning we have today, isn't it just fine to know that if we wait another year and come back and sing these songs, they'll just mean more? Because we've walked with Him. Because we've heard His voice. Because we've cried with Him, sang with Him, been with Him. In everything, get to know Jesus.
And what a great privilege to hear just a taste of that wisdom that Mr. Bob Benson shared with the audience so long ago, and now we can enjoy it here today. We're going to turn a corner now and pick up his message in a different place, where our guest was referring to the 15th chapter of the Gospel of John, the portion where Jesus said, "You did not choose me, but I chose you." Here now is Mr. Bob Benson with the conclusion of his message here on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
These have been days in my life when I have been trying to learn more about the meaning of live in me as I live in you. And one of the first conclusions I have come to is that this shared life begins in His love for me. He chose me. Now, I want to tell you right away that I likes to be chose. You can't tell it by looking at me, but at times in my life I have been sick. I've always been weak and sickly, it seems. It looks like, well, once I got up to about 163, but I look like a squirrel with a couple of acorns in his mouth. It looks like this is going to be about it. Although, to tell you the truth, I lose about an eighth of an inch a year these days, so I don't know. Hope I don't live too long. I can remember going to grammar school, and we'd go out to recess. You remember how the teacher picked the two biggest kids in the class to be captains of the softball team? And then they chose the rest of the kids for size, for athletic ability, for friendship, for skill, because they had a first baseman's mitt or some reason. until finally the teacher would say, "Well, we can't play till somebody takes Bob." When those big kids would kick the dirt and say, "We'll take him." And I was usually sent out to play pigtail behind the right fielder. I don't think I ever came up to bat until I was in the eighth grade. And I struck out then. So I want to tell you right away, I likes to be chose. And I like these words, they mean something to me right away when I read. You did not choose me. Oh. I chose you. I was not chosen because someone didn't come and wasn't ready to play. I was chosen. We sometimes have the idea that the way it is we're going down through life and things all of a sudden aren't going too well, and we see him and we say, "Oh, I believe I'll choose him and he could bring my life together and put it together for me and make me the person I'd like to be." That's not the way it was at all. The way it was this. You were going down the road and he saw you and he said, "Well, I'll take him. I'll take her. You be on my side. I got a place for you." I was chosen. And that has made all the difference. Now, a couple things about being chosen I want to suggest to you this morning. The first is this. You can't understand the choices of God by looking at the choosee. I know I'm an improbable choice. It's kind of fun to go places to speak, because when you get up and people haven't heard you before and you start speaking with this voice, I could just read on your face. I can't hear him. I just can't hear him. I had someone the other day after service stop and say, "I only heard about half what you said." I said, "If you'll tell me the half you heard, I'll tell you the other half." It turned out they hadn't even heard half of it. Then you can say, I can see you say, "Well, I'll just read his lips." When you don't talk any louder than I do, you don't even have to move your lips. My speech teacher, yeah, I have one. She said I had lazy lips. Peggy never complained. But well, I know I'm an improbable choice. This voice and not a very big body. You can't understand the choice of God by looking at the choosy. You understand it by looking in the heart of the chooser. He chooses us because he loves us. You know what it means to you to say Jesus, don't you? You think back across your days. Where you lost your job, or your mom died, or the baby was sick. Think of the times you breathe that name. Oh, what the name Jesus means to us. Could you believe this word It means every bit as much to him to say your name. Could you believe him what he said? You did not choose me. I chose you. I picked you. I took you. So you got a wart on your nose. Who cares? But you. Well, maybe the people have to eat across from you. I chose you. I picked you. This day, Lord, you who have loved us so much, now, Lord, you must give us faith somehow, an imagination to even begin to believe how much you have loved us. May we reach out to thee this day.
And what an absolutely priceless way to end today's message here on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. We've been listening to the late Bob Benson, whom I've heard, Dr. Dobson, you describe as the consummate storyteller. I know that you've also mentioned that you were literally in the audience that night, and you remembered a lot about that weekend.
Roger, I was not only in the audience, but I had spoken nearly all day that day, and I was getting pretty worn out. There were about 8,000 people there in the auditorium that day, and when I finished my second or third speech, and then there were about 100 people around me who wanted to talk about their kids or ask questions about their families and their marriages. It was already after 5 o'clock, and I was about as exhausted as I've ever been. Nevertheless, I took a red-eye flight that night to see my father, who was in a hospital in Kansas City. He'd had a heart attack, as I mentioned earlier, and I was very, very concerned about him. But I want to tell you something else that happened that night. When I walked in, I found my dad was very excited, and he said he had to talk to me, had to tell me something very important. And I was afraid that I would wear him out because it was after midnight about that time, and I suggested that we wait till the next morning to hear what he had to tell me. It was a mistake because I found out from a relative who knew what he wanted to tell me that he had been in a 3-hour prayer conversation with the Lord just one day before he had his heart attack. And the Lord had revealed something to him that he wanted to share with me. In fact, the Lord had told him he wasn't going to live very long. My dad had been praying and asking the Lord for more time to serve him and to win people to Christ. That was who my dad was. But the Lord answered him about 5 o'clock that morning and said, I've heard your prayer and I'm going to answer it. And you're going to reach millions of people around the world. But it is not going to be through you. It's going to be through your son. And that he knew he was going to pass the mantle on to me in a short period of time. And he wanted to tell me about that to get me ready for it. And it was years later when I found out what the Lord had said. And by that time, I was leading Focus on the Family. And actually, 7 years had gone by before my aunt felt it was time to tell me what my father had said. And for the first time, I realized why Focus on the Family had been blessed by the Lord. And every time it reached a door, it opened for us because it was not me. I couldn't take the credit for it. The Lord was responding to my dad's faithful prayers, and I believe it still follows me today.
Wow, what an amazing story, Doctor. Clearly, God chose you to carry on your dad's legacy, and you continue to do so even today. In fact, the heart of Family Talk is helping parents and couples build godly homes to pass on that legacy to their children. And Now we can offer tremendous resources on our website to help you and your family. We would love to engage with you as the parent of the next generation. So call us at 877-732-6825. You can call us toll-free at that number, or you can reach us via our website, drjamesdobson.org. You can also join our growing online community. Find us on Facebook when you go to facebook.com and then search for Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. Regardless of how you reach us, we would love to hear from you. We are so grateful to know that you're praying for us and also that you're supporting us financially. If you're able to do so at this time, your tax-deductible donations are deeply needed and greatly appreciated. So thanks for standing with us in this way. Be sure to tune in again next time on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.